gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man.
Hang on, what are you talking about? I only had cataract surgery on my eyes. What have you done with my legs?
He'll be able to read the small print. He'll be able to read the small print.
He didn't read the contract very well at all, did he?
He'll be able to read it now from about 2 miles away.
Oh, dear.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Stephen.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
And
I'm merely Keith.
Oh.
Just merely Keith.
Just merely Keith. Yeah. Yes.
I can't be real without my fake.
No.
Who is currently on bed cuddling another woman.
Mm. Ooh.
It's a dog, Trixie. Don't go into that.
What's the dog's name?
Trixie. Not... I didn't name the dog, I inherited the dog.
Not Fufu or...
Not Fufu, no. Trixie's bad enough.
All right.
At least it isn't Trixie Lulabelle.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I don't shout the full name.
Trixie Lulubelle.
Yeah. But I'd like to stress that we are not keeping. Yeah.
Yeah. How many days now?
Yeah. We're not going to go there.
Trixie's moved in.
We're approaching a month now, yes.
Anyway, dear listeners, without further ado, new body parts besides, it's the news with El Presidente. Woo!
Tom Baker, not dead. He's honoured.
Oh,
no, very cool.
With death.
Thomas Stuart Baker has been made a member of the Order of the British Empire, MBE, with his award for services to television aged 90.
Took a flipping long enough, didn't they?
Yeah, I always thought he was a member, but there we go.
Ooh. Ooh.
Baker appeared on King Charles III's 2025 New Year's Honours list alongside the likes of Doctor Who guest stars Carey Mulligan,
there's one for you,
now
well,
CBE,
right,
Sarah Lancashire, now OBE,
there you go, have one too,
and Stephen Fry, now Sir Stephen.
Sir Stephen.
The Order of the British Empire goes in the following increasing rank order. Member of the Order of the British Empire is MBE, Tom Baker's honour. Officer of the Order of the British Empire, OBE, Sarah Lancashire. Commander of the Order of the British Empire, Carey Mulligan, CBE, and Knight Commander, KBE, Stephen Fry.
Knight Commander!
Knight Commander!
There's another one, a higher level of knight. I forget what that one is.
Just imagine what it's going to be like with him whenever he has to walk into a room now. So, Knight Commander, Sir Stephen Fry!
Is there? He's a sir yet.
Is there?
I don't know when it's official. Is it not official until the moment you meet the king?
I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
Like when someone gets given one of these, does it have to start from the member?
No. You don't have to collect. They're not like Pokemon. You don't have to collect the set.
No, I was just saying, I don't know if, like, say, for example, like, whoever, like, had been given, say, Sarah Lancashire, she's got the OBE.
Yeah. She didn't start
would she
with
then
MBE.
Get the CBE, or no. Would it just be anything?
She could get the CBE at the future point, but it's not a given, to speak. Right,
okay. And she wouldn't get an MBE afterwards. She wouldn't get a lower rank after the higher one.
Yeah. I learned something new.
Age 90. Oh, look, he's still alive. We better give him one before.
MBE, though. You'd put him at the lowest rank. It's a bit unfair, frankly.
But he can still go up.
He can. Should be Sir Tom Baker.
The franchise.
Cancelled.
HBO's comedy series about making a superhero franchise film called franchise has been cancelled after just one season. Yeah. The series starred the likes of Hamish Patel, Aya Cash, Jessica Hines and Lolly Adefoe. I do apologise, Lolly, if I got that wrong.
Adefoe, I think.
Adefoe, with regular guest stars including Richard E. Grant and Daniel Brühl. Our AI overlords described the series as such.
The franchise was a satirical comedy series that takes a behind-the-scenes look at the chaotic world of superhero film production. It follows a film crew as they navigate the challenges of keeping a beloved franchise alive and kicking, lampooning the industry's unreasonable expectations and the absurd lengths they go to in order to please fans.
HBO brushed off their usual cancellation template to say,
"We're so grateful to have had the opportunity to work with the tremendously talented team behind the franchise, especially Sam Mendes, John Brown, Armando Iannucci, and this hilarious ensemble of characters. While we won't be moving forward with another season, we look forward to collaborating with all of them in the future." Or not.
I haven't seen this, but I
haven't yet either.
I enjoyed the trailer.
Okay.
You know, the trailer looked good, and it had pedigree, because it was by the same people who did In the Thick of It and Veep over in the States. So it had, technically, looked like it would have had legs.
Yeah, as many things these days, I don't get a chance to really find their feet. But, yeah, I look forward to eventually seeing it.
Yeah.
Don't get engaged with it, though, because you won't see another one.
That's the trouble, you know, some of the things that looked good. What was that, 1918?
The 1899?
1899.
1899. Yes. That looked fantastic, and I watched the first couple of episodes, but as I found out it was cancelled, I lost interest.
Yeah. Particularly as probably an ongoing storyline with this, honestly.
I mean, Next Gen, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that had a rough couple of years, particularly the first year.
Yeah, as I've mentioned before, I think it takes at least a year for one, the actors to get used to the nuances of the characters, the writers to get push what the actors can actually do. It's very rare for a show to be there in the first season.
Yeah, it does happen.
It does. Firefly, for example. Yeah. That was there in the first season.
But that's it. That's the exception rather than the rule.
But even that got cancelled. So.
Yeah, didn't even make a full season.
Yeah.
Fox diseases.
Bring back Firefly. Bring back Firefly.
There's talk yet again of it happening, but we'll see.
Have you heard about the Han Solo Easter egg?
In what, where, when?
I saw something that there's a Han Solo Easter egg in each episode.
There's
of
a Han Solo in Carbonite. A little toy Han Solo in Carbonite. Yeah. Somewhere on the set of every episode of Firefly.
Oh,
so I need to give it a rewatch.
I have to give that a rewatch too.
The Last of Us, Season 2, dated.
Ooh.
Roughly.
From behind.
HBO may be taking with one hand and giving us with another, announcing that the second season of The Last of Us will premiere in April.
Woohoo! Mm.
Based on the popular video game franchise, the series follows Joel, Pedro Pascal, and Ellie, Bella Ramsey, as they navigate the post-apocalyptic world ravaged by the deadly fungal infection.
You can get cream for that.
Yeah, I know. I wish they did, but that's my opinion. The 7-episode-long second season is expected to delve in the events of The Last of Us Part 2, set 5 years after the first season, though likely not completing that whole game storyline in this one season.
Look forward to it. It's been a couple of years, hasn't it? Time has just flown.
Right, so most of these things are usually 2 years apart.
Yeah, it's getting to that way, 2-3 years apart.
Yeah.
There we were, claiming about 18 months between beginnings of Doc 2 seasons.
Yeah.
That's because some of us remember it running for 48 weeks of the year.
Barbara Clegg.
Dead.
Barbara Diana Clegg has sledged down her last Yorkshire hill in a bathtub. Aged impressive 98.
Oh, good innings. Good innings.
Clegg started off a career with acting, including touring Shakespeare plays and moving into radio and TV in the 1950s.
Blimey.
Appearing in such programmes as BBC's Sunday Night Theatre, ITV's Armchair Theatre and Emergency Ward 10. In the early 1960s, she transitioned into writing, including the likes of Coronation Street, Crossroads, and her first sci-fi, a radio dramatisation of The Chrysalids. This led directly to her being the first woman to write a complete Doctor Who serial, namely the 1983 Fifth Doctor story, Enlightenment, part of the Black Guardian trilogy. This was her only script for TV Doctor Who, but an unused script, Point of Entry, was later taken up by Big Finish for their Lost Stories range.
And you've got to admit, Enlightenment was weird.
Yeah, it was pretty atypical, but it was good.
I'm not, you know, but it's completely left field.
I love it.
I'm just not knocking it.
Even though it's got Mitch's mum in it. It's got Mitch's mum. Sorry, Mitch, if you're listening to this, I know it's not your mum, but...
It was.
It was.
Mind you, it's still 1983 for the first woman to write for Doctor Who. Mm. That's 20 years it took us.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, really, isn't it?
But, now you know why we moan still.
And you knew who wasn't much better, frankly, was it?
No.
No.
That took quite a few years as well.
And it's not exactly littered with female writers.
Even still, Any addendums?
I haven't two. Ooh.
Two?
Two of them.
Hang on. Let me check. Yeah, I've got two addendums.
All right.
Author Larry Corella. Has produced his last book, The Heart of the Mountain, which is part of the Saga of the Forgotten Warrior. Now, doesn't really mean much to us, but but the reason I'm bringing this up is because he has a dedication in it on the front page. Now, as mentioned, it's the final entry to the Saga of the Forgotten Warrior.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The dedication says... to George R. R. Martin. See, it's not that hard.
Dedication's all you need.
Yeah.
He ought to be roasted. I don't know why it was taking him so long, frankly.
Because he's now had the money, thank you very much. They wrote the ending for him.
He's
now had the money.
How many years has Game of Thrones TV series finished?
Oh, it's got to be a good two, three.
It's more like four or five.
Mm. Could be, could be.
Still no new book.
Right.
Oh, well, Andy, your final edition.
No, I've got two more. I just remembered.
Definitely three, okay.
Right. As we know, after various years, copyright comes up on various things and they appear in the public domain.
Indeed.
This year, 2025, has released Popeye to the public domain.
Yep. Ooh, the Sailor Man.
Yep. And as with Winnie the Pooh a couple of years ago, there is now a horror Popeye film to be released. And it's called Popeye the Slayer Man. They've turned it around pretty fast, so they must have filmed it last year, because it's being released at the end of January.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they made it before it was released, ready for when it
Is there a plot or not?
I didn't want to look that closely into it. It was just the name that got me.
And what happens to Olive Oil?
Is she in it? I don't know if she was in the early ones. I don't know. I know that he didn't start eating spinach to give him strength until later on.
Yeah.
So that's not in the public domain yet, that particular aspect of the character, which is odd. My famous thing.
They have to be careful of what they release. My final addendum. Mm-hmm. I got this from the newspaper Bristol Live.
Ooh. Oh, they do a lot of clickbaity stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, Guy Ritchie's Amazon Prime series, Young Sherlock, is currently filming in Bristol.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's based on...
Andy Lane's books.
Yeah, the Andy Lane books. It was being filmed at Queen Square. Before moving to Corn Street in Bristol.
Queen Square?
That's what it says. No, not in Crawley. Filmed in Queen Square in Bristol. Right. And apparently it's going to be released on Amazon Prime sometime this year.
Mm.
No specific date, but it's a very quick turnaround.
I always remember the Young Sherlock, was it Steven Spielberg movie?
Yes,
The first CG character, was that?
The stained glass window.
Mm. Ah.
I have an addendum.
Go ahead.
I have an addendum.
Doctor Who.
Right. BFI.
BFI.
Yes, yeah. So screenings of The Savages and Spearhead from Space will take place at the British Film Institute ahead of their Blu-ray release. Mm-hmm. The British Film Institute, BFI, will be playing host in February. The month kicks off with newly remastered four-part 1970 serial Spearhead from Space, playing at BFI South Bank on the 1st of February. And at the other end of the month, on the 28th, the same venue, screening The Savages, all four episodes of the new animation of the Lost William Hartnell story.
Mm. Used to enjoy going to those, but I've not been offered tickets for a while now.
Well, they're worse than gold dust.
They're very hard to come by, If you're not a BFI member, your chances are very limited to get a hold of one better. Mm. Good luck to anybody who tries.
Yeah, when you get there, there's always loads of seats.
Yes, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
I think they keep back quite a lot for guests, shall we say. People that are the great and good that they invite don't then turn up.
Yeah. I wonder how much money they lose doing that. Anyway.
Yes. But, of course, Spearhead was in high def already.
Yeah, they've released Spearhead before because it was done on film.
It was all shot on 16mm film.
Yeah.
It's the only Classic Who which is entirely in high def already. Mm. Or they've remastered it again. I don't know what again you were doing that. But...
Well, it's part of the box set because they're releasing that, what's it, season 7?
It is.
Season 7, they're releasing the season 7. Season 7 box set. Say that three times fast.
Season 7 box set. Yeah, sometime this year. Do we have a date for it yet? Is it March sometime? I think it's March sometime.
I think it's February. No, actually, March might be for that. I was thinking about the other release because there's another John Pertwee set that's getting the standard release in like February.
Right, okay. So is that it?
I believe so, yeah.
Endemed out.
Thus endeth the news.
Woohoo!
Dear listeners, we've been watching a TV series.
Definitely, definitely.
We've been watching Agatha all along. Pause for music. Down, down, down the road, down the
witch's road. Follow me, my friend. Okay, now I think the interesting thing about this is it's a sequel series. It's a sequel to WandaVision.
Yes.
You don't need to watch WandaVision, but there is a certain amount of catch-up in the first episode.
Well, I tried with the best of intentions to watch WandaVision, but it lost me.
Yeah, I struggled with the first three or four episodes until it established what was going on.
The
storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had no interest in 50s, 60s, 70s US sitcoms. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say that about the first series.
Well, I've watched both, and I'll agree, WandaVision did tread water for the first three, four episodes.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of WandaVision.
It was a nice gimmick, but it didn't help the story. It slowed down the story.
Yeah.
But
it was good if you stuck with it.
It didn't interfere too much, I felt, with this one, because I know we've got one of the characters who comes out of WandaVision. You don't need to know about WandaVision. Take it, okay, that character is a witch or whatever it was.
I did like the initial conceit for the first episode of her being trapped in a...
Scandi-noir type.
A Scandinavian.
That was quite good.
It starts off, and I wonder what the heck we were watching.
I bet you did, because if you haven't seen WandaVision.
I mean, I love a good detective story, but I wasn't expecting to be asked as homework to watch a detective story. It's not the kind of thing we usually review.
No, it's not.
So it starts off as a detective story. Someone who's found dead, body in the forest, crushed, etc. And we have the young lady, and she's going, and she's investigating and all the rest of it. And then in her house, this young punk breaks in and she arrests him and takes him down to the police station. And he starts talking gibberish to her, or otherwise known as an incantation.
Mm. Yep.
She then goes to look at the body to prove she isn't going mad, because the pictures are just fields. They're not the body
things
anymore.
Are changing.
And it turns out she's not who she thinks she is, and you just realise she's in a kind of weird hallucination, and she's actually a witch.
An ex-witch.
An ex-witch.
Well, she no longer has her powers.
No. Spoiling music. Sha-la-la-la.
I think we're going to be doing a lot of that.
If you haven't seen it, don't skip. Her girlfriend then turns up to try... we don't know it's her girlfriend. A witch turns up to try to kill her.
Yeah.
It actually is her girlfriend, but also someone else at the same time.
She appears at the beginning as somebody else, but you do get the feeling that there's history between them.
Yeah.
You're not told what the history is.
Until
the very end, yeah.
It then turns out that it's actually a story about witches.
The Witches' Road. Yes.
Witches and a lad that they... A pet that they take with them.
The teenager.
The teenager. Yeah, I, for various reasons, I watched this one with interest.
I bet you did. I was wondering what your particular reaction would be.
I'm sitting there thinking, is this going to take the mickey or what? I actually really enjoyed it.
I think, yes, it did take the mickey, but gently.
It did.
You know, there was various sides to it.
Mm. I liked, one of the things I did like about it is they got off this BS about there being good witches and bad witches. That was invented by the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Oh,
there
right,
are witches.
Yeah.
Like there are priests, like there are this, that, and the other.
A lot of dodgy priests.
Some are good, some are bad, but no one's all good and no one's all bad. They literally invented good and bad witches for the Wizard of Oz so you could kill one and the other one could help Dorothy. And I like the fact they didn't go into this, that with this. No one's heard... they called her an evil person, but not...
Yeah, Agatha herself is the protagonist, the villain from WandaVision. She's, I don't want to say hero in this, because she's not.
She's not the hero.
She's the main, certainly the main protagonist, but her personality hasn't changed.
Not
but
really,
it gives you more reasons for her personality. Yeah.
She's more of an anti-hero.
Yes.
You sit there going, you wouldn't want to go and have tea with her.
No.
But you don't hate her either.
Don't trust her as far as you can throw her.
Yeah. I caught on to the Wizard of Oz overtones from the kind of Oz start with the follow the blue bit road. Follow the blue.
If you look, it's also in the cop show, the opening titles for the cop show, because it leads you through a forest with a yellow police ribbon running through it.
Okay.
So that's where that connotation starts.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the fact that they have to go through different trials. The premise of it is that this is the Witch's Road, which is an alternative dimension. If the witches travel along it, at the end of it, they get what they wanted.
Yeah.
They get power, if that's what
they're
after.
Desire,
they get the heart's desire. One of the witches has been fettered or had her powers locked. She wants them released. The pet, the young lad they have with her, the teen, as they call it, he wants power. Or a shortcut, basically.
Shortcut. I wouldn't say necessarily wants power, wants more...
He wants to understand what's happened to him.
But also, a bit like the Yellow Brick Road or the Wizard of Oz, a lot of what they get is already there.
Yeah.
It's just because they go through these different trials as they go along the road, all of which are set in a house.
Different houses.
Which is brilliant. So they're going along the road and there's a house.
Beachfront property was the first
one. Beachfront property was the first one. And then there's a hippie caravan. When they go through the door, they're all in the outfit, clothing that suits the house.
Yes.
Whether it's sort of like 1950s day wear, or whether it's hippie gear, or whether it's sort of like a frat boy or girl, sort of like
slumber party.
Their
clothes change to fit their surroundings.
Yeah.
And they realise quite early on about the sigil and the teen as well.
Yes. Whenever they ask his name, he says his name, but they can't hear his name. A kind of like funny mark goes over his mouth.
It looked like a W.
They can't find out who he is.
Hence them calling him teen throughout nearly all of it.
Yeah.
And a sort of one glorious moment, one of them uses his full name, Teenager, when she's angry with him.
Yeah.
And he's the only male character in the majority of the whole thing.
Once we've
got away from the cops and that kind of stuff.
Once you got away from Westview. That is something I've just remembered back to the first episode. The actress who plays Agatha has now broken a record. She's the first one to do full rear nudity on Disney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That hasn't been allowed up until that point.
Yeah.
Very strategically long hair.
Very strategic long hair, yes.
And some
taped
edges.
Down, no doubt.
Yeah. But I do like the guy not looking.
Yeah.
You know you're naked. Yes!
And as, how come to put up the ante, they are being followed by a group of people called the Salem Seven.
Mm.
Dark witches, black witches, dressed in cadavers,
but
dead.
Not, they're not even people anymore,
no,
are they?
No, the way they show them is they walk very scattered. The best way to describe it is they don't walk towards you. They sort of appear, jump, jerky.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're the Spanish Inquisition, but in black.
They have a grudge against Agatha, who hasn't been very nice to them in the past.
I think...
Mm. Or many people.
Yes. Many particular ones, though. I think they were the first lot. They can't have been the first lot she killed by draining them of their powers. But it was pretty early on in her career.
They did do a nice montage in the final episode.
Yeah.
Of all the covens she's had.
That she's gone through.
Draining all of them.
Each of the witches has different attributes. So there's earth witches, air witches.
Yeah. Green witches.
Agatha, she can steal other witches' energy, but only once they've used it against her.
Yeah, if they attack her, she can siphon off their power.
To the point of death.
Yeah. Quite literally.
Kind of.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, the whole thing with the road that they're going down is it's based on a song, which is an old, old witch's song that doesn't exist. The road doesn't exist. No. Now, Agatha, for various reasons that come to at the very last episode, knows that the witch's road doesn't exist. No. So when they do the incantations to open the door to the witch's road, which is usually her trick for getting them to throw their powers at
her scam,
she was rather surprised when the door appeared and the witch's road comes into existence.
Yeah.
But you don't realise all these things until it gets to the end of it. It's a bit like Bad Wolf. The first time you had that, you didn't spot all the clues till the end. Yeah. You go,
You go back and watch it again.
And when you see it in that first episode and the door appears, like, she's surprised by it.
Yeah, she's as surprised as everyone else.
Yeah, it's more a case of just, oh, there's the door, like, let's go. Yeah, but then, like, it's so later on.
Really, it was teenager who opened the door and ran down it.
Yeah.
The rest of them sort of just followed.
Yeah. I thought I recognised that character, that teenage character. I think it is meant to be the same character. There's a Death's Head graphic novel or comic from only a few years ago with a character called Wiccan in it.
Yes.
I think it's meant to be the same character.
That is meant to be the same character.
Yeah.
I had no idea who that character was, and I read the Death's Head comic.
But
yeah, so the teen is Wiccan.
Right, okay.
Hence the W on his lips that appears.
I thought it was something else, but okay.
But there is a lot more to it than we've gone through. Because the last episode, I thought for a minute, please don't play me the whole "this is in your mind" trick with one of the characters.
Right.
Because it kind of like sets you up. And I won't say too much in case anyone is going to watch this. But at the end, there's a bit where you sit going, it's played like it's actually all in someone's imagination, that they've made the whole thing up and that kind of stuff.
Where they go around
their room and see all the bits of that kind of stuff. And then, of course, it turns out it isn't.
It was okay. I wasn't massively impressed. Yeah, the storyline was kind of interesting, but I didn't find any of the characters particularly compelling personally. I didn't really care about any of them, which is a problem when they're at threat all the time. And indeed, several of them are killed off along the way.
I didn't
find myself really caring, particularly given I sort of expect them to come back. And half the time they did.
From my own point of view, I found the character of Agatha annoying. But she's played annoying. That's not the actress. That is how the character appeared in WandaVision.
She was great in WandaVision.
Yeah, I found her annoying in WandaVision, but...
Yeah, but that worked.
Yeah.
Because she was the villain of the piece. But I don't know if she's quite strong enough a character to carry her own series. It's not like Loki, where he's a villain and quite an over-the-top villain. But he was strong enough, by far, to carry his own series.
Right,
I'm not quite sure, for me personally, that Agatha quite was. Or maybe it's just that I'm not that interested in the supernatural side of Marvel.
It could be that.
My favourite Marvel things are the likes of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
The sci-fi side of it.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
And I'm somewhat less interested in the modern intrigue stuff with Captain America, and even less so when you get to WandaVision and particularly the second Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
this is more Sabrina the Witch than it is Captain America.
The House of Marvel is a broad gamut.
And, it is.
We made you sit down and watch it. Yeah.
But that's what you get with Marvel and with all the characters they've got under their umbrella. Yeah. Like, they can't do all these different genres.
Yeah, I found the other characters much more interesting, especially Lilith, as we find out.
Aubrey Plaza's character.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you in terms of she isn't the most lovable of characters. I enjoyed this. If it stops here, I enjoyed it was interesting. Yes, you've got to a bit at the end where it can lead
it's
on.
It's possible to.
But I'm not sure that the where it leads on from would be necessarily as interesting.
I don't know.
Because it's going to end up with, oh, look, we've got supernatural powers instead of superhero powers. Yeah. It would depend on how the follow-up to it was written. But I totally get where you're coming from. I enjoyed it because it was topic that I quite enjoyed. But if that had been superheroes going through superhero trials, I would have had to have been engaged with the characters, because although I like superhero stuff, that can become a bit repetitive for me. Yeah. So unless I was engaged with them, I'd have probably turned off. Yeah.
I think if there is a second season, and hopefully there is for the people who liked it, but I think they need to use Agatha in a different way.
Yeah.
She needs to be more proactive. She needs to be more of a villain in her own story, rather than just being reactive.
Yeah, certainly how the character turned out. They can't use her in the same way now.
Yes.
Because of what happens in the story.
Yeah.
And in this one, she was basically powerless. Yeah. Literally powerless.
Yeah.
For most of it, which I think was a mistake. That she should have got her powers back earlier, maybe. I don't know. I think it perhaps not strong enough to do 9 episodes. The premise, maybe that should have been half the season.
Could have been.
The second half, she's got her powers back and see what she does with them.
There was one or two episodes where I said, because once they got onto the road and you had them having their own little tableaus inside the houses, they were quite interesting because each little trial was around an individual and... Even though you've got the Gwig, what's her name, Blackheart, the non-witch amongst them?
The
gardener.
The Green
Witch.
She was
great.
Yeah, from WandaVision, yes.
There was times where I just sit there thinking it is not flagging, but it's padding itself out a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, it depends how you watched it.
Mm.
It's my problem with the binging. I don't think this was set up or can be watched as binging because you...
Yeah.
All in one sitting, because you do get episodes where... Not a lot as much happens.
Yeah.
But where if you watch it an episode a night, which me and fake Keith did, it's much more biteable, manageable, and we could do what I love doing is sit down and try to pick it apart and try to figure out what's happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love that with stories. That stimulates me to think what the hell is going on.
Yeah,
where if you just sit there and binge it in one
sitting.
You don't get that.
Yeah.
I hadn't done my homework, so I had to binge it.
I watched the last 4 episodes on Saturday morning, yesterday morning.
So, for me, it was a bit of a rush.
I rewatched it because I remember watching it when it first came out.
Yeah.
So I just refreshed my mind on Wikipedia so quickly.
Yeah.
And I can then remember everything else. And that's how I viewed it, because I viewed it every week when a new episode came out. Mm, or the first 2 dropped at the same day, as they seem to do quite a bit of streaming now.
Yeah.
So I've watched the first 2, and then every other week I was getting
the
new one. And it's good because then you had a week to kind of think about what had happened and put your theories through what's happening.
That's it. I personally love sitting there picking out theories and getting really excited that I've got it absolutely spot on correct. Yes, I knew it. Or, ooh, that's left field. What the hell happened there? Which, as I said, you don't get with binging.
No.
Did you watch it, Crumbly?
Unfortunately, I didn't. No, as I say, because I tried watching WandaVision, that sort of queered my pitch a little bit. So,
Well, it is certainly a different beast from WandaVision, and it goes straight into it. You have one episode of police detective, but by the end of that episode, that illusion has already been shattered, and we're now into the story.
Sorry, I'm not watched WandaVision, and that didn't bother me that I hadn't. It didn't spoil the premise, and it didn't take anything away. I did like the fact that it's still in the MCU universe.
Yes.
Because at the beginning, there's an anomaly, like a red dome type thing. And they just said, we're told it's where an Avengers experiment went wrong.
Hmm.
It's a really quick throwaway line. But I like that fact that in that one line, they've established the universe in which you are in.
That's WandaVision, that whole dome thing, yes.
Which I think we come back to with Teenager's story. To explain what's going on there.
But no, it's an interesting one to watch. No, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, on the whole, I would say about a 7 out of 10, 7 or 8 out of 10, I think.
I'd go more for a 5, mid-level one, but yeah. Because if anybody else out there has watched it, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
How would they do that?
They could put a little note on a brick through my window.
But that's going to be very expensive in glass.
All right, well, okay, how about an email then?
Well, it would take a while to see your address, but one at a time as well.
Where should they email us?
A show.
At?
Staggering.
Stories.
Dot.
Net.
Woohoo!
Dear listeners, we've been watching things that once were in black and white, but are now have been colourised. Oh, yes.
Did they go through with the felt pen and every frame.
Every single frame.
Did they tint it like they used to?
Yes, dear listeners, we've been watching The War Games in colour.
Dun, dun, dun.
Pause for music. I have a confession to make.
Oh?
I have never watched War Games.
Oh,
what?
No, I've never watched the original Black... I've read the Target novelisation, read that quite a few times, but actually watched it. Never. Never ever.
Ten episodes.
Never sat down and watched the whole 10 episodes. I may have seen snippets and bits, but never watched the whole thing.
Okay, so that's interesting, because I thought I was literally the only one out of us that would be watching it first time.
Yeah.
So am I the only one that's actually sat down and watched all 10 episodes of Black and White?
I think you may be.
I don't know. Have you seen the 10 episodes?
Let me double check, but I'm sure we've reviewed it.
We have reviewed it. And at that time, I think I said I didn't watch it. I read the Target book.
Oh, okay. Right.
Which is cheating.
I definitely did watch it back when we reviewed it, but yeah.
No, I have never, ever, never watched it.
Right, wow.
Well, I may have done, but it would have been back in the day, and I don't remember it.
Well,
let's just say, trying to condense 10 episodes down to 3...
Yeah.
It was a major... Well, I wouldn't say a hatchet job, but...
I have to disagree completely.
Oh?
Comparing it with the Daleks...
Yes.
If for me, it ran completely smoothly, except for two small jarring cuts. The story flowed, I understood what was happening, and it carried me along.
Same here, yeah. Yeah, but I say, sort of trying to condense 10 episodes into sort of a movie length, colourised edition.
240 odd minutes, down to 90.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, obviously, you've got the opening credits, the reprise. It's still a big, big cut.
No, yeah.
It is one of the stories where there is an awful lot of running around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. I acknowledge that a few plot threads were lost, such as the whole business with the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge that was lost, but it still makes sense. It's still a watchable story to my mind.
I loved the colourisation. I thought the colourisation on this one was far superior to what they did with the Daleks.
Yeah.
It,
no pink cardigans for me.
No, no. It was... The Daleks, it kind of came and went and came and went. And I didn't know if it was the colourisation or the film, so... But on this one, it found its colour, which was actually almost a true colour.
Yeah, it looked really good.
And it stuck to it.
I think they utilised colour photos from the set. So the colour you saw was the colour that what they were.
Yes.
Unlike Daleks and necessarily the infamous pink shirt. Initially, that wasn't pink. I think that was a bluey-grey shirt.
Yeah. It's a blue cardigan thing, she was wearing. Yeah. Barbara,
But anyway.
Not pink. And here, of course, most of the characters are in some kind of military outfit.
Yeah.
They're olive drabs for the British Army and stuff like that.
But
I mean, even things like the flesh tone and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
It was a lot better. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a couple of very stark cuts, like the one of them that jumped out at me is when the Doctor and that is let out or escapes from the prison cell, and then basically next thing, and
it's TARDIS cradles.
At least you need that few seconds of him running down the corridor out of the prison,
perhaps,
then the next scene is him sort of like putting his hands up. So you've got that tie. It's almost like you're out, you're in.
Yeah, it was a bit frenetic.
Yeah. It was a very sharp cut. They're going to suffer that with most of them where they're going to cut them.
Yeah.
Now, something like the Aztecs, which was a four-parter, which when you top and tail it, you're going to be able to get down to 90 minutes.
Oh, easily.
There's going to be very little of that they need to cut.
Yeah.
But when you've got the longer ones to do this 90 minutes, you do have to cut it. And the only problem is you are trying to turn a waltz into a jive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to pace these at the pace of a new Who. They weren't written at the pace of a new Who. So you could cut it your heart's content, but the acting isn't at that same pace.
Yeah.
You're kind of trying to artificially do it, and I think you're always going to feel that to some extent.
Okay.
To my mind, it depends on the nature of the story.
Mm.
War Games was possibly a four-parter, maybe a five or a six-parter that was stretched to 10 parts.
It was. Yes,
it was originally. Yeah.
Certainly some of the Pertwee ones, which are 8-parters, which I think... having had to sit down and watch a couple from this podcast, I mean, what mostly sticks in my mind is Green Death. Green Death, yeah, that's only 4 parts. I can do that in an evening.
6 parts.
It's 6. Yeah. It was the whole evening. It was nothing but the, and I was wanting to die by the end. But it's a case of, it does make me wonder how many of these episodes were stretched to 8-parters, to 6-parters.
A lot of them. I think the thing that gets lost in doing this is that because they were written long, their character development was also written long over there. That's the really thing I hated about the Daleks one, is we lost the whole character stuff about the brothers and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I love the bits at the end, but I think some of that went on a little bit too long. And I would have liked a couple of minutes of the John Pertwee sitting in the chair writhing as he regenerated to do in a little bit better with the cuts at the beginning. But I loved that bit at the end where he actually had the regeneration. I quite liked seeing the model, which is totally new, of the War Game Central. I think these should be 10 minutes more. Okay. I think they just need that extra 10 minutes.
It's 20 minutes longer than the last one.
Yeah.
I think it was 70 minutes of dialogue.
Yeah, because they've televised them, so they have to cut them to a certain time. It depends on the time slot they've been given.
It's that and the money to do the colourisation.
Yeah.
20 extra minutes of colourisation is not cheap.
No. Yeah. Incidentally, as she's not here, I think I need to point out that fake Keith mentioned that the headquarters was actually the Paw Patrol without the tower.
Now, I work with someone who's like us, an old fart, and has seen a lot of these in their original glory. I use that word loosely. And didn't like the first Dalek cut.
Right.
And, okay, thought this one was all right, but had queries, and their comment was, they didn't like the model shot. They thought that the whole thing with it was that this was in an extra dimension. You can only get to it by TARDIS stroke SIDRAC. And that the whole idea of this not being in a physical plane, but being in a time dimensional plane, which suddenly got wiped out. Having said that, they watched it with someone who's only ever got into New Who, who absolutely loved it.
Okay.
So I think that's the thing. These are not being done for us.
No, that's what I've been trying to tell lots
of people. They do seem to be hitting the mark for the people they are aimed at.
Hopefully. So you said it's frenetic like Modern Who. I think it's even more so, more frenetic than Modern Who.
Well,
if I had a problem with it at all, it would be the pacing was too relentless.
Let us ask our representative of the younger audience, Steve.
Yes, hello.
Funny you say that, I'm still young. You like me.
Compared to the rest of us old folkies here.
Youngling!
String him up! String him up!
Hello.
Yeah. Had you seen the original?
I hadn't seen the original, but I have seen some classic stories, so I kind of know what this is about. Yeah, I went into this watching it new and colour and stuff, and I enjoyed it. It felt like going back to Tennant Who kind of pacing and stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Not so much current Who. For me, it was a window into classic Who in a way that felt easier to view for me in the way that I view stuff. And I think that's what they're trying to do. Is they're trying to go... Yeah, they want, obviously, people that are used to shorter programmes these days. Although, obviously, we're used to sometimes a 3-hour movie or something, but that's still paced in the same kind of way or spread out in the same way.
And it's in colour.
Yeah, and in colour. But no, I agree. Even though I noticed that there were clearly bits that were missing stuff, but there was enough there to make sense of what was happening. And like, I felt it was well explained, and it was nice to see that bit of history that clearly was obviously on TV in black and white in colour now. And then obviously maybe it's intentional for the new Who fans, but for the old Who as well, is that they added those new Who elements to it as a little like nod of that as well. And I've heard a lot of people saying about how they used the Johnson master theme in there for the Valyard.
All the master themes are in there, I think.
There's the sound of drums at one point.
Delgado theme.
And I thought that was a nice touch. when we see the whole scene with Charlton with the Time Lords being told he's got to regenerate and he has choices and stuff. I was like, I loved that.
I see they got rid of the, oh no, he's too fat one. They chopped that bit out.
Yeah.
But yeah, no,
they kept the tooth in.
I did like that. There was a nice little touch. It's interesting because obviously I haven't seen the black and white version. Yeah. And maybe at some point, oh, we'll go and watch it.
It's very good.
For me, something like that, it's daunting.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. The real story is like 10 episodes long.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
You can't sit down and watch that completely in one
exactly,
sitting.
Exactly, whereas I got to experience the story in a cut-down way at the pace I'm kind of used to, and it made enough sense for me to watch it. And I'll be honest, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I sat down as an event, because I knew everyone else was sat down watching at the same time, and I was like, this is basically a brand new episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It was, because they've edited it in a way that there's new music, new cuts, obviously it's now in colour, and it was just a brand new episode of Doctor Who to watch, as well as the Christmas special, a couple of days difference. So, I enjoyed it, and I thought it was really good.
And of course, it's the first appearance of the Time Lords.
Yes. They weren't named.
Medley Monkman.
And I loved the regeneration at the end. Because even I realised that that was new.
I know the history of who the War Lord is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Doctor then, but the War Master. I know the premise of it. Now, he was going to be a standalone character. When they moved to having the Doctor entirely on Earth, they needed an adversary because they couldn't take him off anywhere else. There is a reason why he and the Master are so similar. It's because they took that character as the basis for the Master.
Right, okay.
Now, there has been a whole load of fandom about whether or not it is the same person.
Yeah.
I'm of a mind that it's a bit like the whole thing with the Brain of Morbius. It should have been left alone and let the fans fight it out in their own way and not necessarily cast it in stone. Because you can either go with the... It is the same character.
Yeah.
Or you can go with, it isn't the same character, but the writers needed a character, so they pulled the emphasis of him out. I liked the whole use of the Master music, but I was also a bit disappointed in that they're saying, well, we're now saying he is.
Right, okay.
It's like with The Brain of Morbius. I watched that as an 11-year-old, and it never even occurred to me they were the Doctor's faces.
Yeah.
Because the last person that ran off his brain was blown up was Morbius, so therefore they're Morbius's faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would have been nice to leave some of those bits for fandom to play with and have in their own minds.
So I'll be honest, as such, like when I watched it, I didn't click or put down that guy was the Master or meant to be.
Right, okay.
Whereas I kind of knew he was supposedly this other character that was bad. But for me, by hearing like the Master's theme and that music being used, I didn't necessarily register that that was going, hey, he's the Master.
He's pretty much awesome.
If I may riposte, that theory has been out since about 82.
Oh, really?
It actually appeared in the FASA role-playing game. That's the first time I found it was the Doctor Who FASA role-playing game put the Master and the War Chief together, pretty much as an early regeneration.
Mm.
I like that idea, but on the flip side of that, they didn't call him the Master.
No.
They didn't say the Master. And the music, which was the connection that everyone's screaming about, could just be, this is an evil Time Lord.
Could,
the Master's an
you
evil
really
Time
want
Lord.
It.
This isn't, if you really want to...
Yeah, I think that's what I was watching it. I was very much the same.
This is music that implies this Time Lord isn't very nice.
Yeah.
To my mind, we still have an out, is the fact that they didn't explicitly say, that's the Master.
Yes.
Yeah.
The music just implies that this is not a Time Lord that we should not trust. Yeah. We're familiar with that music, so we know not to trust that man.
So it's
implied for the people who know.
Yeah.
It can just wash over the people who don't.
Yeah,
who
I have no problem with him being the Master.
I don't.
It works fine in my head. Yeah. So if they want to imply that, I'm more than happy to accept it.
I know quite a few people have thrown their toys out of the pram. One, that they've re-edited such a sacrosanct, important story.
Yeah.
And now why not have the Master from the Land of Fiction is also a copy of the Master.
Why
no,
not?
Just please.
I did quite like the fact that they put in the regeneration sound effect for the War Chief.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't see it. It was off-screen.
It
dragged
starting.
His body off-screen and he heard him start to regenerate.
Yeah.
That quite easily can either be the Master or the war chief from the New Adventures book, which was Exodus, because he appeared in the Exodus New Adventures as a failed regeneration who is some form of mutant with multiple
Felix
arms and
Creed Sletter or something.
Yeah.
One thing that this was whether it's in colour or black and white, and I wanted to find out what other people thought, was always got me. They are obviously TARDISes.
Yes.
They're Sidrats.
Yes. Yeah. Sidrats and TARDISes.
When did they decide that all TARDISes were called TARDISes and not Sidrats? Or when did they decide that? At some point they didn't refer to them as TARDISes.
Okay. TT capsules.
The Doctor as a TARDIS. I can't actually remember at what point in the show they stopped referring to non-blue police box owned by the Doctor as TARDIS. TARDISes.
Well, after Deadly Assassin, they were still TT capsules.
It was first mentioned as TT capsules and Deadly Assassin.
Yeah.
That's when the fact that it was a Type 40 was first mentioned. Yeah. Up until that point, I think it was a Mark One.
Oh, I don't know.
I think.
Because
I think Terror of the Autons is the Master was a Mark Twos, right, and the Doctor's was a Mark One. That's why the DMAT circuits were incompatible.
Oh, okay.
So were they called Sidrats in other stories?
What is it? Space and Directional Robots in Time or something like that.
Okay.
It was TARDIS, but they'd swapped. It was backwards.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where you're retrofitting the future into the past with some of this, which, there's fair and foul arguments to it either way. But that's one of those bits where they can't, you know, the past is, like, disjointed slightly.
Well, the Sidrats.
Only in the fact of, like, so when did they stop calling
The Sidrats were presumably built by the War Chief.
Yeah,
the TARDISes. They're not quite.
Yeah, if I remember
they're
rightly.
They're bigger inside, they time travel, but they're very limited.
If I remember rightly, I can't remember if it was said in the original show, but in the book, they only had a limited life because they don't have a specific crystal that can only be found in Gallifrey or around Gallifrey.
Right,
They've only got a limited lifespan.
And whether they're connected to the Eye of Harmony, probably not. They've got a different power source, probably. Yeah. Yeah, so they're not quite TARDISes, but
they're TARDIS technology, it's sort of a
cut down budget version.
Yeah, budget version.
A Bronco version of TARDISes.
Now that's a reference only half of our listeners are going to get.
I know.
I was trying to think
of the latest ones that do knockoffs.
Yeah.
But no, generally, I enjoyed it. I am looking forward to...
To do more, yes.
And some of the four-parters. I so want to see the Aztecs in colour.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Or even Marco Polo.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist at all.
I don't think
it does. But the fact that those are some of the four-parters where what I'm going to see in colour should probably literally not be that far off of what I watch in black and white, but with my imagination coloured in rather than me having to imagine it.
If they cut down all the reprisals. And
what's the next obvious one? Could it be Dalek Invasion of Earth? I mean, is that too obvious? They've done the Daleks, which was
made into
a film.
What about one of the Cyberman ones?
Tomb?
Tomb, to me, would be the most likely to be the next one.
Tomb and Cybermen, maybe.
Because, again, that's only, what, four...
I think it's only a four-parter.
It's a very iconic story, and in some ways, I don't know if it'd be cheaper than some of the others, because you haven't got multiple sets to colour.
Mm.
Once you've worked out the colouring for the tomb...
Limited cast as well.
Yeah, you've got a limited cast. I don't know if, you know, that would make it cheaper to colourise. A bit like a cartoon. It's cheaper if you can have a static background.
Maybe.
But would they want to do, like, Troughton, or would they go to another Hartnell?
Well, they're only stuck with two Doctors.
We commence colour.
Yeah.
Unless they want to do a decent colourisation of the first episode of the Dinosaur Invasion.
That could make, you've got to go CGI dinosaurs.
Or maybe they should take some of Colin's ones, desaturate them to black and white, and then recolour them. A little more toned down.
Well, they could do the blue coat.
Unless they wanted to do Hartnell's regeneration episode.
But there's only three episodes of the four existing.
They've got a very finite choice. Yeah. Because they've got it's black and white, but they've got to have all the episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or be able to cut out an entire episode and not notice it. Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you can't really do with part four of the 10th Planet.
A pretty significant.
Yeah, that's the bit you're watching it for, really, isn't it?
Or would it be that they'd animate a random episode at the same time, so you're watching a colourised version with a brief, like, 10-15 minute segment that's in animation colour.
Yes. And in the past, this is what happened. But no, I say, it's interesting, I think, depending on who's watching this, as to how they are received.
Yeah. I think it's a definite step up. I enjoyed the Daleks, although all that stuff with them covering the cuts with flashbacks of things that only happened 2 or 3 minutes earlier.
That was
annoying.
That was a bit jarring.
I'm glad they jettisoned that. I was impressed they didn't have the crutch of being able to revoice the Daleks in this one, which allowed them to smooth over a lot of the cuts. So I was impressed they managed to do it so well here. So, yeah, I'm very impressed. I think it's a big improvement.
Big improvement, yeah.
And look forward to the next one, hopefully. I've certainly pre-ordered it on Blu-ray.
Unlike the Daleks, where a lot of people apparently cancelled their order.
Oh, I did buy it, I still have it.
So, if you watched The War Games in Colour, tell us what you think of it by emailing us at show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Net. Woohoo!
Oh, we all know what happened at the end of the episode.
No,
John Pertwee fell out of the TARDIS.
He did. Went splat on his head and it rolled away.
But his head lived to tell the tale.
Yes. How have we forgot of him?
After three. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Pertwee.
Hello, Handles. Hello, Inky McSquirtalot.
And Dinky McSpugglertalot.
Just what?
Various nebulas.
Terence.
Dave the Almighty.
Dangerous Churchill.
Yes, she's a Grunhilde Knobnecker.
Evil Cat. Oh, yes, Evil Cat.
Yeah. Evil Cat, who's been up in the loft for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Now he returns.
Yep. Goats, yes. Goats.
The latest collection.
Yeah. I think we should name them. Should it be Billy Goat and Gruff? I don't know.
The poor goat. Is that what he's named? Goat.
Yeah.
Goat.
Is that one trying to mount the other?
It looks like it.
Well, they are goats.
Anyway,
we just have letters.
We do.
Do we have any feedback?
We had a couple of bits of feedback which didn't quite make it in time.
Oh.
The tributes to Siobhan. So I didn't want to put them on without us reacting to them. So we can do them now. They are, I'm afraid, a little bit late, but
it's all right.
There we go. Right, the first one is a bit of audio feedback from the Tin Dog, Michael.
Hello, Tin Dog.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello.
Okay, this is Michael, host of the Tin Dog podcast, blah, blah, blah. That's not important. What is important is that I wanted to send you some stuff, well, for the Siobhan tribute episode. I'm guessing that's probably what this is going to end up turning into.
It did, yeah.
That's not something I ever thought we'd be saying.
No.
I'm not on Facebook. I have no idea what was happening. I got a message from Luke, who got a message from Tony. It was one of those things that everyone just kind of spread out.
Yes.
And it was one of those things where you go, that can't be the case. That can't be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
57.
Yes.
That's no age. Right.
That's not so good in this.
I will be disappointed if you haven't started this episode with Siobhan Galichon. Dead. Genuinely what she would have wanted.
We did.
You see, Siobhan's had this thing that all very, very good podcasters have got. First off, a lot of opinions.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
And second off, they're funny.
Yeah.
And third, they were always welcoming to all podcasters. They were knowledgeable about their stuff. And basically, you see, I've started this recording several times. I really have. And I've ended up going back and forth and going, oh, no, but what about this? But what about this? And it's just ridiculous. Siobhan was always a champion of fandom. Damn fine Hartle impression. You'll be hearing that a lot from a lot of people.
Mm.
So let me tell a story now. Okay, so Doctor Who is a program about change, about regeneration, about one person becoming another person. So I need to tell a story where I do not come out of this well.
Okay.
So you'll have to forgive me, and you really will have to forgive me if I use a dead name in this one.
Indeed, yeah.
But I've been listening to these podcasts since the beginning. I was there for Staggering Stories. I was there for Flashing Blade.
Indeed.
I was even there for the infamous Space Goat years. Space Goat. Goat in space.
Indeed, yeah.
If anyone was there or remembers these things,
that answers a lot.
Remember them with possibly shudder, possibly enjoy. That's not important. But there was one point in the Flashing Blade series that Tony said, well, from next week, something big's got to change. something fantastic's going to happen, and it's a surprise. So, because I knew Siobhan at the time, or Tony, I knew Tony, I messaged Tony thinking I was being hilarious, and I said, "You're going to come back as a woman, aren't you?" Yeah. You see, with hindsight, you can see what's happened there. Yeah. I thought I was being hilarious.
Yeah.
What I was actually being was insensitive and stupid. Yeah. But I didn't know these things.
No, you didn't.
And then, when the next episode came about, and we found out about the regeneration into Siobhan, I felt about an inch tall. Anyway, I messaged and apologised, and as always, Siobhan, the newly regenerated Siobhan, just thought it was hilarious. She thought I had nothing to apologise for. But I felt a bit bad, genuinely bad, because I'd made a gag when it really wasn't needed. A little bit of personal growth took place, let's put it that way. Now that sounds dodgy, moving on. So anyway, Hooverville trundles round, and Siobhan's at Hooverville, and all of the podcasters together in the room, and Siobhan comes in, and we're all just pleased to see her. None of us care what's happened, because we all care what's happened. There's hugs, there's acceptance, there's a bit of surprise, because none of us were expecting it. But, like I said, we're Doctor Who fans. Regeneration is par for the course. And Siobhan still gets to do fantastic Doctor Who impressions. Genuinely, genuinely loved by podcasters, and I hope she knows this. I hope she knew this. Genuinely impressive fan, and something that I hope we could all aspire to. And I just want to say, it's been an honour knowing her. So just farewell, Siobhan. The last time I saw her was at Hooverville. And we were joking, and Karen told a particular story, which I'm sure she can regale you all with at another time.
Yes.
So the last thing that I ever heard was Siobhan laughing as I walked off to the car park for my journey home. And that's how I choose to remember her, with laughter. Siobhan, I salute you, and I'll be raising a random drink if someone's choosing at some point. I will not be singing Space Ghost, Space Goat as I fade away. But either way, thank you for being there. Thank you for McFadden Publishing Publications. Yeah, sure. Thank you for Staggering Stories. Thank you for The Flashing Blade. And just thanks for being a fan and a friend. Be seeing you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a lovely...
Yeah, I have to catch myself because I have memories of Tony.
Tintin, originally, which is, looking back, was quite an androgynous name.
It's a bit like, I like the idea of regeneration. I've got the first Doctor and the second Doctor.
Talking of which, the funeral has been dated. It's the 18th of February.
Yes.
So you've got a bit of time.
Yeah.
It's at the Sussex and Surrey Crematorium, isn't it? I think it's called.
I think so.
Basically, that's it. Crem on the edge of Crawley.
Yeah.
It's 11 a.m. And everybody, of course, is welcome to come along and
say goodbye.
Pay tribute, yes.
Yeah. And dress code is casual and daft, really.
Yeah. If you want to cosplay, definitely cosplay. She loves cosplay. Doctor Who t-shirt,
bright colours are welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think I've already decided what I'm going to wear, and I hate the idea already.
Don't tell me Amelia's turning up.
No. No, that'd be kind of appropriate, maybe. No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, another bit of audio feedback here. This one from Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee. Thank you all for your lovely tribute to Siobhan. Can I just say that Google doesn't know how to spell her name either? I enjoyed your discussion of Joy to the World. I will go back and watch the episode again at some point, but I'm not quite ready yet. I don't really have much more to say about your past episode, as I covered both of the main topics last time around.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that I survived my brother's generous gift of COVID.
Good.
Fortunately, I was able to take it very easy this time.
Good.
Partially enforced by my cat, who has never spent so much time in my lap in these 7 years I've had her. Now that I'm better, I must say I miss her company. She's a fickle little thing. Thank you for all the predictions, hopes, and fears. I guess there's only one way to find out which will come true and which won't.
Yeah.
Be well, my friends. And that means no more COVID for all of us. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a whole new one coming around now from China, isn't there?
Yeah. I've already had that.
It's almost 2020 all over again.
It is. Yeah. Just getting to that point, isn't it?
Oh, I'm glad you're on the mend.
Yes.
There better not be lockdowns again.
Oh. And having said that, sort of big fires, well, I think we should give any thoughts to any listeners in the Los Angeles.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, California. Anywhere in that part of California. Yeah.
We know that we do have friends in that area, and we know that area. There's parts of that area we were visiting not so long ago.
Yeah, we've been to LA a few times.
And you've got Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah.
They're quite Chicago a long way away. TARDIS. You've got Galley.
Galley.
Soon. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and wishes are with our friends over there.
Yes,
any of our listeners who we don't know, we know there's a lot of you because we got a lot of Twinkies when we went to Galley.
Oh, God, did we ever. That euphemism.
I know there's a lot of GoFundMe sites and that. I would advise anyone, any of our listeners who do want to help out, go to one of the reputable ones.
Yeah, so yes.
There's a lot of groups. There's a Star Trek group that's being supported by the actors there and some others that are doing GoFundMe for not so much the millionaires, but just the general residents, because not everyone that lives there is a multi-millionaire. So, no, we hope that all our listeners are safe and you've made it through.
Yeah.
Hopefully with your house, but at the very least, we want you with your lives.
Live to regret it. Don't live to...
Yes.
Yeah, the house can be rebuilt, but you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do we have any written feedback?
Yeah.
We have a letter here from Mark.
Ah.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Staggerers. Just wanted to send you a note. I hope you've had a great Christmas and New Year.
Yes.
And also to say thank you for your company and entertainment throughout 2024.
Mark, are you sure you're listening to writing to the same podcast?
The other reason for writing is to remember our lovely friend Siobhan. I first met Siobhan with Joe, plucky girl assistant, at Hooverville when it was still at the train museum. That was a few years ago.
Yeah,
just a few.
Yeah. I was instantly made to feel like a lifelong friend, and that has continued with every all too brief catch up. I always look forward to Hooverville, not only to see Steve and the guests, but also to spend time with Siobhan. I just wish I had made more time on each occasion to just be. But you know what conventions are like. There's just a whirlwind of love and reunions. God, I love fandom. Well, most of the time. So next time I see you all afar in Derby, I am marching up to all of you to administer hugs, as life is too short not to do that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know Siobhan will still be holding court outside the quad, as always.
Yes.
And we will remember her.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, fake Keith isn't here, but I will pass on the comment.
Oh, yes.
Karen, my grammar is probably terrible. Forgive me. I've been on the Baileys. Mark.
Yes, it's the time of year for Baileys.
Yeah, that's allowed. Exactly that's allowed.
Yes, we are going to be at Hooverville.
Yeah.
With Siobhan's next of kin. It has been agreed, and with the kind assistance of the Hooverville mob, you will find the Staggering Stories team in the dealer's room, as Siobhan's Who collection will be brought along to Hooverville. We think that's where she would like things to go, so that the items go and stay within the fandom who appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a case of sensible offers. Yeah, obviously, you know, we're not going to be selling you a first.
But got some Doctor Who the collection box sets.
Doctor Who collection box sets. So
limited editions.
Yeah, you know, do come and see us, even if it's just to say hi. Just we thank. The Hooverville crew, Steve and that, for allowing us to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, any more feedback?
One final bit of feedback here from Jay.
Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hello, Staggerers, inanimate and animate alike.
That's cheating. You've got to name each one.
Oh, every single one of them do that. I'm tremendously sorry to hear about the passing of Siobhan. I only met her the one time back in April 2011. When I met both her and Adam on the way up to London to go to see the first episode of season 32, or A New Money season 6, Matt Smith's second season, up at a pub with a bunch of other people.
I remember that.
I remember that one very well.
I was going to say, a pub with a bunch of people from Hoodom. Oh my God, which one?
I'd listened to her only on podcasts up to that point, and it was wonderful to meet her. So sorry for your, was, of course, her family's loss, as I knew that you were very close to her. Silo, Adam actually recommended this to me when I was down there last month. When last weekend Apple offered a weekend of free access to Apple TV Plus for everyone, I took full advantage of that to binge my way through the entire first season and the first two episodes of the second. Glad to hear that it's been renewed for two more seasons. I've just made a big purchase from Apple.
Ooh.
So that should come with another 3 months free access to Apple TV Plus. So that should sort out. Seeing the remainder of the second season.
Good luck.
Joy to the world. I have rather mixed opinions with this. As the first time I saw it, I rather enjoyed it. Not to mention, I was quite amused by the Mr. Ben costume store there. Though on subsequent viewings, things tend to fall apart a little bit more. Like, the whole story is pretty much because the doctor screwed up by meddling. The case carrier was to deposit the star seed in a time period millions of years in the past, then receive the telepathic message as to where to pick it up. Even doing so to save Joy from being disintegrated by the case really didn't matter at the end, because her consciousness, as with the other case carriers such as the Solarium manager and Trev, would have been part of the star. Given the millions of years of cooking inside the star seed, even Trev was able to overcome the villain guard programming and help the doctor. So who say that wouldn't have been the case all along? So there really was pretty much no net benefit to the meddling at all. The other big thing that doesn't make sense is the shrine where the case was. Why was this even a room in a time hotel? Why would people even go to that room?
Yeah, that one I did find a bit weird.
The ending as well. Once Joy has become the star, also to me, just seemed incredibly cheesy. Especially with what happened with Joy's mother. And I cannot even begin to fathom that. I mean, there's so much about it that doesn't make sense. Such as how quickly the Joy star would have had to move to get out of the solar system so as not to cause it any damage. And just how the heck could it have disintegrated, absorbed her mother at just the right time after Joy had hung up from the iPad.
Timey-wimey.
Let's assume that the Joy star is no closer than Proxima Centauri. Alpha Centauri, the binary stars, not the character, and Barnard's star, i.e. the three next closest stars to Earth, then that's just under 6 light-years distance. So that timing from the Joy star would have needed to be so exact. Finally, can we end this Mavity stuff?
Yes.
No, keep it going, I love it.
Anyway, I didn't mean to end up in a grump about the episode. At face value, it was entertaining, certainly. That's what you want from some Christmas Who fluff.
Yeah.
That's all for now, I think. All the best for the new year, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
I love the Mavity. Keep it.
I think Jay is doing something you should never do with Who.
Thinking too hard about it.
Yeah. Examine it critically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's timey-wimey fluff.
Yep.
I have to agree, the Mavity is getting a bit on my nerves, but I still think the Mavity is actually a signifier. And we have yet to... That's yet to pay off.
Yeah.
I think
it's a very subtle but long-flowing...
Perhaps.
...thread to something.
Or maybe it's just a overworked gag. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, even when I watched it, I mentioned she must be all of about 3 light-seconds away when that star exploded. Unless she must have gone back in time 6 years in the past to explode for the light to have reached Earth at that point. I don't know.
Don't examine it.
Don't think too hard about it.
Now, you see, there's a ship on there, right? And it's bigger on the inside than out. And it can travel from point A to B, which is, of course, a billion, 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 billion light years in a matter of seconds. And we don't go around analysing that now, do we?
Well, that has its own internal logic. Yeah. I'm not sure the star does. But
how do we know it hasn't got the same kind of internal logic?
Well, I mean, it's bigger on the inside than it is on that. Explain that as well.
Where did mass from the star come from?
Anyway.
Yeah, don't think too hard. It's just a bit of fluff.
Yeah.
I think that's it for feedback.
I think that is it.
Yep.
Any more business?
No.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But in the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new. So until that...
W for War Games?
That's what I was just about to say as well.
Wondrous.
Wicked.
Wistful.
Wobbly.
Winsome.
Willyish.
Oh. Comes winding.
Wobblingly.
Wibbly.
Wantonly.
Towards us. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
I'm going to blow up the Earth. It obscures my view of Venus.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 463, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Gene Riddler, Keith Dunn and Stephen Clare. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Testing 654321. Beep, 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 beep.
And we need some silence.
Oh, yes. Maybe hold your breath and see.
People not actually being silent, though.
I'm just saying, it's amazing when you hold your breath that you want to yawn.
Yeah, basically, the intro to the $6 million man.
Which I was watching the other day.
Blimey. The bit where you hear whoever it is saying, we have the technology to build the world's first bionic man.
Oscar Goldman, isn't it?
It was Oscar Goldman. Yeah. Yes.
Then I come in.
Tom Baker, not dead.
Hang on, we haven't moved to the news yet.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I was too eager.
That's okay. Premature.
Bless me. Bless you. Bless you.
Lots of coffee and sneezing, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
I understand you have a few choice things to say.
So what was it called?
Agatha All Along. I'm trying to remember the actress's name, Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
She's gone from
very,
all
very famous actress. Yeah. And I cannot remember her name.
No.
We're all getting
it's not Reese Witherspoon, was it?
No. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes. Gwyneth Paltrow, thank you.
And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Goop.
And they're composting.
Wee wee time!
Oh.
Wee wee?
Wee wee!
Wee wee.
Wee wee. I'm unsure of wee.
It's just so nice to see clearly now.
Yeah.
The rain has gone?
Yes, that's what my supervisor did. When I walked in on the Monday morning after the surgery, they'd got a Bluetooth speaker, he'd hooked up his phone to it, and they started playing I Can See Clearly Now.
You just love work, colleagues. Mm. Yeah. Is your vision now like Terminator? Do you have little figures and sort of diagrams?
No, I shouldn't have the old sort of bonnet mask.
Anyway, back to the podcast.
Yes.
Isn't it weird? A tablet. It's not a book.
No.
It has no up or down, realistically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's got a fold cover like that, how many of us hold it that way rather than that way?
Yeah. Where you're from. From Japan. You're
no, but it, but in our in this, where we read books that way, how many of us hold it? I mean, Japan, it'll be the other way. They will hold it like that because...
They're backwards.
But it's not. It's not a book. It doesn't work like that.
Depends. If I'm watching something on YouTube, it will hold it like that.
Yeah.
Landscape.
Ooh, excuse me. And so, dear listeners, I'll say that again.
That's not on the script.
No.